This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We are unpacking the implications of sanctions imposed on Zimbabwe and how these continue to affect the people of the country and that particular economy. Recently, and not so recently also, Cyril Ramaphosa, the South African president, has asked, and while he was in London, that they reconsider lifting the sanctions. And also when he was in the United States, he did the same. A controversial statement that obviously has also caught fire with those that are interested in Zimbabwe. Some will agree, some obviously would not. But let's hear firstly what Cyril Ramaphosa said in the UK.
The Zimbabwe issue inevitably always comes up in meetings like this, because we're talking here with the country that is like at the head of the Commonwealth, and we advocate for Zimbabwe to be readmitted to the Commonwealth. It's important, and obviously they're going to mull over that. We also advocate for sanctions to be lifted, and we've argued that the sanctions that have been imposed on Zimbabwe have a collateral impact, a negative impact on us as South Africa, because as the Zimbabwean economy is weakened, Zimbabweans flow to our own country and exacerbate the challenges that we are having with regard to unemployment and health services and many other services. So, yes, the issue did come up, and these are matters that are continuing to be addressed.
And that's in the UK recently raising that particular issue. But he was in the United States as well. And remember, the US has, of course, applied those sanctions with the EU as well. He expanded on the particular issue in the US.
Well, challenge is a major one, not only for Zimbabwe, but for Southern Africa and indeed for Africa. Zimbabwe has emerged from a very difficult political situation, and they've now held their recent elections, which went well, but they still have sanctions that many countries around the world have imposed on them. We've been some of those who've been calling on the world to relax the sanctions or lift the sanctions altogether, so that Zimbabwe can begin to operate in an economic manner with the capabilities that it has. They are currently facing serious economic challenges, and they can be assisted by the world if those sanctions are lifted. But at the same time, yes, they are having discussions with us as South Africa about the economic challenges that they're facing. We are involved in serious discussions to see how best any form of assistance can be made available to Zimbabwe. We have not yet reached conclusion. We've had the Minister of Finance on our side and the Governor of the Central Bank getting involved in their counterparts on the Zimbabwean side. And President Mnangagwa and myself will meet at a later stage to see what is possible. I'm not able to say whether, you know, the change of their monetary currency would be the silver bullet that they need or not. It is something that they themselves will need to consider, because they did change their monetary currency and dollarized it, and that may or may not be working so well for them. So those are some of the issues that we need to continue engaging in. But the world that has imposed sanctions against Zimbabwe would be even more helpful if those sanctions were to be lifted, because then Zimbabwe's economy could then begin to recover. It is no longer necessary to have sanctions against Zimbabwe right now, because they have embarked on a path of democracy and on a path of real recovery. And we will help them best by lifting those sanctions, because that in many ways would relieve the tension that is currently in the country, with shortage of food, shortage of fuel, fuel prices skyrocketing, and all that can be eased if sanctions were to be lifted.
So, yes, it's 22 minutes past 10 o'clock. I read the intro to you. We're talking, of course, about the impact and implication of the sanctions imposed on Zimbabwe and how these continue to impact the people of that particular country. Ramaphosa recently asked, while in London and the U.S., Ramaphosa recently asked while in London and the U.S. that they consider lifting the sanctions, a controversial statement for some that caught fire. Well, I've got three guests in my studio tonight. Tukudzwa Hilary Chiwanza, Zimbabwean journalist. I've got advocate Simba Chitando, who's been here before, advocate of the South African High Court. And of course, I've got Dr. Vusi Sibanda, who was with me last night, CEO of the African Diaspora Global Network. Let me start with Vusi. Vusi, welcome. It's two nights in a row for me and you, Vusi.
Yes, good evening, and good evening to the listeners, and thank you very much for inviting me.
Absolutely. I'm hoping we'll have a conversation like we did last night. Advocate Simba Chitando, welcome. How are you?
Evening to your audience. I'm well.
And nice chatting to you again. How are you, man?
I'm great. Good.
Tukudzwa, Hilary
yes.
Chiwanza.
Yes.
Zimbabwean journalist in the same boat I am in. How are you?
I'm all good. Hope you're well as well.
Sure. Let me start with you, advocate. And let me start with advocate as we head into a conversation about whether we lift sanctions or we don't lift sanctions. Let's put it in context of something else that would have happened on October the 27th. Zimbabwean cabinet approving an amendment, basically to criminalize the Codification and Reform Act, making it illegal for Zimbabweans to have unauthorized communication with foreign governments and or to be critical. Advocate Simba, in context and when you do begin to see elements of this particular nature occurring and people critical of this particular amendment to the criminal law, Where does it change your mind? You know, if you had softened on the issue, does it harden your particular issue, or does it reaffirm, you know, a stance that you would have had?
Okay, thank you very much for inviting me on to talk about sanctions in
sure.
on Zimbabwe and also the Patriotic Act, which is, I think, I was supposed to come on yesterday. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it.
Yeah.
I have, by way of disclaimer, there's two disclaimers or updates, whichever way you want to see it.
Sure.
The first is that I am actually involved in litigation against the sanctions. It's been something that's been going on since last year.
Sure.
The organization I represent, the Zimbabwe Anti-Sanctions Movement,
mm-hmm.
Is involved in quite a lot of the activities around sanctions, and I can tell you a few of them. We made representations that we were involved in the UN report
mm-hmm.
on sanctions in Zimbabwe, which there were two, ended up being three reports, which basically said the sanctions are illegal. They've had a detrimental impact on the Zimbabwean economy.
Mm.
And a special rapporteur for sanctions of the United Nations, Ms. Dugan, an independent, did her own investigations, which she made civil organizations such as the one that I'm representing and I'm involved a lot in, and they made those findings. Sanctions on Zimbabwe are illegal. It is quite law. I don't think I need to go into too much depth in explaining why it is, but it's very simple. It's against the United Nations Charter. If you want to impose sanctions on any country, you must get a resolution at the General Assembly or at the Security Council. And the sanction senders, the United States government doesn't have any of that. And they did it unilaterally. In fact, the DERA, if you read the first paragraph, it says that it is unilateral. The other thing that the two words or three words that characterize the DERA is economic coercive action. That's actually in the DERA. And in of itself, when you hear those words combined, economic coercive action, that's basically blackmail. If I am going to economically coerce you, Genzo, to do what I want, or you lose out, your organization loses out, your family loses out, or you as an individual lose out, that is a problem. That is okay. So as far as the background, it is illegal, and I've been involved in the initiatives, and the UN has made their report. There has been a, I heard the president's Ramaphosa, that is, speech or interview or statement. There has, he said that relax or remove. There has been a relaxing of sanctions for the past 2 years. There's gradual. And this is now the second part of what I'd like to say is more the update. The update is on Monday, as you're aware, the president was in the UK. He met at state visit. He met the leaders there, and he talked about sanctions. On Monday this week, just recent yesterday, Durko, who we are also working with the Department of International Relations, emailed us to let us know the progress on the litigation that we have started against the United States. So, and they were quiet for some time. So, and that's something that will be coming out in the press in the next couple of days. I'm kind of like a spoiler for you. Those who are were disciplined enough to be up at this time, we'll hear that, you know, what has been happening in our work with Durko on the sanctions issue. So, I mean, that is, it's no coincidence. They're quiet with us between June and now. And I think it's quite clear that something has happened in Pretoria, and things are moving speedily ahead with the litigation stuff that we're doing, that we're doing with the sanctions. So that's the update on the sanctions case, which has been widely reported on in Zimbabwe. I was in Zimbabwe for 2 months this year, just doing sanctions work. So it's something I do very regularly. All right. So now to this patriotic act again, the Zimbabwe Anti-Sanctions Movement's chairperson, Lutendo Machinare, was a brainchild. I worked very closely with him. Again, I said I am the lawyer for the organization. He was the inspiration for the, he first introduced it. And it's important that, I mean, your question is sanctions, does the Patriotic Act that is now being adopted by the Zimbabwean government, does that harden the stance on sanctions? Now, I want to put that into context. First, I just mentioned that I work with an organization that advocates for the sanctions. I'm also a member of ZANU-PF, and it is a law that we support as a party. So, put it into context. The Patriotic Act that has been adopted in Zimbabwe is almost identical in principle to the United States Patriotic Act. It's not something we invented. It is very consistent with that. It is also consistent with the Logan Act, right? And the Foreign Agents Registration Act. Those are three pieces of legislation in the United States which is considered to be one of the most successful constitutional democracies in the world. And those legislations in the United States, the U.S. Patriotic Act, Logan Act, Foreign Agents Registration Act, all of them are used legally to prosecute individuals who cause damage to the United States electoral system, who cause damage to the United States economy. There's also the Anti-Communist Act. I'm looking at the legislation now because I was prepared. I'm not going to go into the Communist Act because I think it's not even being applied anymore. That was more for the Cold War, for obvious reasons. But the Foreign Agents Registration Act and the Logan Act, USA Patriotic Act, I'll talk to those acts in the United States. Now, when one mentions that, no, we're going to punish people who are not patriotic, then that has undertones that suggest it's not a democratic thing to do. Mm. It is not consistent with a constitutional democracy.
Or there could be abuse of it.
Or abuse of it. Mm. But that is not what's in the Patriotic Act. And many people are talking about it. I don't think they actually have the act in front of them. Mm. But what I know is in the act and what I support, I'm a lawyer, what I support about the act is the principle in which the target, the principle behind the act.
Sure.
Or the purpose of it. And the purpose of the act is to deal with one of the biggest challenges that we have faced. The biggest challenge that has been that many people complain of is the loss of revenue caused by the imposing these illegal sanctions. We know that the United States Senate was very clear. They had Senate hearings where various individuals, Nelson Chamisa, all from the opposition, went to the United States and said, we want sanctions on Zimbabwe. We want sanctions on Zimbabwe to the country that they come from to cause economic pain. And they said economic pain. They were very clear about it. To assist us, and when they say us as the opposition, to get better outcomes in the constitutional democratic process and elections and whatever. Those are admissions that they have made. So it's something I'm making up. The Senate hearings, they were very clear about it. It was broadcasted on television. Now, that conduct is basically, obviously, it's treason. Sure. I don't need to explain that to you, to anyone. It's you cannot, you're betraying your nation when you go to another nation and ask them to perform an illegal act.
Advocate, let's park it there, Advocate. I have to bring Takudzwa into the conversation. Takudzwa, I think the Advocate has explained both scenarios of one, the sanctions against Zimbabwe, and then also speaking to the Patriotic Act and how it would come about. As a journalist in the particular country and reporting on both of these particular aspects and listening to Cyril Ramaphosa, watching him abroad also, what's your take? What would the reportage be like? What is the take of you know, and sentiment of someone like yourself who's writing about both of these particular issues?
Okay. First of all, I would like to agree very much with what the Advocate has said.
Sure.
Because it is what the Advocate has said is the angle that we would also like to take as journalists.
Mm.
Because what we want to aim for is that objective reporting, to say that in light of all the circumstances that have happened, the one principle that remains indispensable as far as disseminating this information is concerned is to say that we are against the foreign intervention, you know, of one country into the sovereign affairs of another.
Mm-hmm.
Because this clearly goes against, you know, all that has been strove for historically, you know, in trying to ensure that countries are sovereign for themselves, you know, that people have the right to determine their own affairs without the interference.
The kind of stance South Africa takes.
Yes, it's a principled stance. It's a principled stance. The only problem that we face, and the only problem that we would also highlight in how we cover the stories, is to say that as far as you know, we take you know, a concerted stance or a concerted position against this sanction, we should also, you know, put responsibility, you know, we should also ask our governments to be accountable for their actions towards their own people, because we support them, because the USA has been the most notorious country in the history of mankind, you know. It is only the USA that has the most foreign bases in any country. It is the USA that has staged many proxy wars more than any other country. It is the USA that has committed the most atrocious, you know, injustices against humans of all nations historically. So while we condemn the United States for doing all this, we should also, you know, uphold our own democratic values and ask our leaders, you know, to be responsible for our affairs, to be accountable, to be transparent, to also be principled, so that when they take this moral stance that Ramaphosa has taken, that Emmerson Mnangagwa will take, they will be vindicated. You know, so in as far as, you know, we condemn all that which the West does, we also need to raise the standards of accountability on our leaders.
What do you make of the criticism of the Patriotic Act? People who would, you know, criticize it would suggest, you know, would suggest that it gives a particular system, particularly when they talk of Zimbabwe, it gives the Zimbabwean government, you know, which of course is already under the sort of hammer of sanctions and or, you know, the kind of restrictions that already apply, and the kind of things that we do see in Zimbabwe from time to time. What do you make of the criticism that suggests that it will, and I will put it to you this way, that they suggest it will be abused, and even to the extent whereby, you know, it starts to speak of any engagement with a foreign entity, any engagement with an ambassador, for example, if not sanctioned by the government. What do you suggest of people who suggest that there could be an abuse of this particular law?
Okay, in this regard, we have to make one thing very clear. We always have to state from the beginning that this approach should be balanced. Why I say this, because in the first instance, we have a proven track record, you know, of the United States working so hard to destabilize our democracy. So, you know, we have the United States working through NGOs, you know, non-governmental organizations, to try and push its regime change agenda in Zimbabwe, you know, through those NGOs. So we always have to be wary, you know,
that there could be abuse of that from that particular front as well, and there could be a political agenda from that perspective as well.
Yes. Also, you know, it could also be mistaken for other NGOs, you know, that might be genuine in their quest for democracy. So I think we need a balanced view on this, because it has its good intentions, you know, but in the hands of people, you know, who might not be ideologically strong within the ruling party itself, it can be prone to abuse.
Let's go to Vusisi Banda. Dr. Vusisi Banda, what's your take? And I'll give you a take on both of them. There's the issue of course, the Patriotic Bill. Then there's the issue of the lifting of sanctions as well. Let's start with the lifting of sanctions. Where are you on the lifting of sanctions where Zimbabwe is concerned?
Okay. Thank you very much, Adenda. Look, I feel quite saddened because, you know, many a times, you know, we've got people chasing a ruse or given, you know, a dummy rather than dealing with the real issues that are of concern. A lot of people, and that includes our government, the government of Zimbabwe, and what my learned friend and the journalist have just been saying there, I think it's very sad because, you know, this is disinformation and misinformation. And I'm also saddened. I'm not saddened because I know that the stance, you know, of the South African government has always been, you know, that of, you know, not getting involved and, you know, under the guise of, you know, state sovereignty that must be respected. And we've seen that since, you know, the days of President Thabo Mbeki. I mean, when President Ramaphosa says that Zimbabwe has emerged from a difficult political situation, I'm not sure which emergency he's really talking about, what kind of emerging he's talking about, because the political situation remains as it was, you know, since about 40 years ago. And it is the same political environment that has chased more than half the population of Zimbabweans, you know, out of Zimbabwe. People started moving out of Zimbabwe well before, you know, the issue of the sanctions, which came basically at the turn of the century. Now, I mean, President Ramaphosa talks of great or good elections and that there is no longer a necessity, you know, for sanctions because, you know, Zimbabwe has engaged in a democratic path. The last election had six people that were short live ammunition. We have Sithole, we have Zikala. You know, people cannot, in a democracy like what we have in South Africa, we see Malema, we see, you know, all the other opposition leaders speaking freely, you know, against the president or any other person, and they don't get arrested. And yet, we are talking about, you know, good democratic practices in Zimbabwe. It's such a big shame, you know, that one could say that. So when we talk of sanctions, you know, sanctions, you know, were targeted against individuals, not against the country Zimbabwe. And every day we get people, you know, ZANU-PF people, you know, and like Advocate, you know, Chitandwe has just said, you know, people that are trying to mislead people into believing, you know, that sanctions, you know, are the cause of the problems that we have in Zimbabwe. We have an economic crisis in Zimbabwe that is a brainchild of the political crisis. It's bad politics that has led to bad economics. And that is why we have a crisis in Zimbabwe. If we have proper democracy, and those sanctions, remember, Denzel, the purpose of the sanctions, particularly from America, it is to say, please implement your own constitution and follow the dictates of democracy. And then we can see that at least, you know, we can ease or remove these particular sanctions. So at the end of the day, whether we have the sanctions or they are removed, it is only the very same people that are in the corridors of power that are going to still become big fat cats, you know, without necks, because they are stealing and they are oppressing the people on a daily basis. A lot of people speak against sanctions because they feel coerced because of the power that the government wields, you know, the state power and the machinery that it uses against the people to oppress and to kill and abduct, you know, people and do all these, you know, scary and gory things that are basically taking place.
Let me ask you a question, Vusi.
Yes.
So targeted financial sanctions against select members. You raise that as well. Targeted financial sanctions against select members of Zimbabwe's ruling elite for undermining democratic processes, abuse of human rights, and facilitating corruption. That's actually how it was worded.
And that's
how it was worded, and you're right when you say against select members of Zimbabwe. The impact of it has been a collapsed agricultural system, no investment, all political sectors imploded, basically collapsed. Unemployment, you could say has skyrocketed. You could say there's a shortage of foreign currency. Rapid inflation, no flow of new capital, and those would be issues that the normal citizen, the normal person in the street would ultimately feel impacted by. Do you feel that there's a disjunction between the original idea of that particular sanction and then its ultimate, you know, development, its ultimate impact?
Denzel, there isn't. The issue, what is happening is, because of the sanctions, because these individuals cannot go and do as they would ordinarily do, they are now stealing from the people. They are the ones that are sinking the economy. Look, if you look at the politics that we have had, you know, in other countries like the UK and so forth, where when people realize that they are failing, they walk away. Now, if President Mnangagwa today and his group of friends really were patriotic, as they would want us to believe in bringing up the patriotic bill, and they knew that the reason why we have these sanctions is because of their tenets and their political practices, if they were patriotic, they would walk away so that they allow those people that are not under sanctions to come in and sit, still send people from ZANU-PF that are not under sanctions because they are not involved in these nefarious activities that have sunk the country. They would walk away and say, look, we have failed. Let other people take over, like what we've seen happen, you know, in the last three prime ministers in the United Kingdom. So what we are basically saying is, you want to call other people to become patriotic when you do not understand the definition of patriotism. Because if you come first before the nation, then you are patriotic. These bills, you know, these sanctions, this whole talk, it is talk to self-aggrandize, to real push personal agendas rather than to push the national agenda.
Sure.
The country is being used as just, you know, as a scapegoat to say, let's remove these sanctions so that they want to continue to enjoy themselves rather than, you know, to allow, you know, the country to prosper and do quite well without them.
Sure. Let me go to Simba Chitando. Simba, a lot has been said since I last spoke to you. Do you want to pick up any particular point?
Okay. I think I'll deal with what Mr. Sibanda said. I'm going to be very academic here, and specifically because it's important that we deal with this for the benefit of your listeners. Okay. So I'll come in at the tail end. His point on the individuals on this, the individuals who are on the sanctions list must step down and others must take their place, who are not being implicated in the nefarious activities he's mentioned.
Hmm.
Well, just to clarify, the first thing is the individuals that are running the country at the moment, our president, and the cabinet are not on the sanctions list.
Mm.
They're not on the targeted sanctions list. On just that point alone, what Mr. Sibanda said is wrong. They're not on the list, so they don't have to step down. The other point that is important is I did say that there have been relaxations on the sanctions.
Mm.
They have been relaxed. Many individuals have been taken off. This is from the EU sanctions, because again, I'm going to go into the details of what the sanctions are. I don't think Mr. Sibanda, from what he said now in his address, understands what the sanctions are. I want to group them into various categories so you understand what they are, so we can talk about what we mean when we say sanctions. The EU has its own sanctions.
Mm.
The European Union. The United Kingdom has its own sanctions.
Mm.
The United States has a sanctions program which includes four executive orders. Those are orders that have come from the president without the need of Congress, their parliament, and Senate. Then you have ZIDERA, right? ZIDERA is an act, okay? And that act is sanctions separate from the executive orders, all right? And I will now deal with ZIDERA. ZIDERA is basically sanctions that deal with multinational institutions that the United States is a member of, the Bretton Woods institutions that provides international finance to countries that were set up after World War II, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, ZIDERA basically says that as an economic coercive action against Zimbabwe, the United States will veto loans to Zimbabwe. It is not a targeted sanction. When you veto loans from multinational financial institutions, which is basically all Bretton Woods institutions, and the World Bank is broken up into four different banks. I mean, I studied this as a master's level. I can tell you that it's not just a bank. It is a series of banking institutions that control the world's payment system, which happens to be in United States dollars, and is the reason why we have a situation where China and Russia are trying to win themselves off the United States dollar, because once that happens, the American government can control which country can get a loan, not which individual in government, but which country can get a loan, not an individual on a targeted sanctions list. So this is where Mr. Sibanda, unfortunately, again, is wrong, because Zedera affects Zimbabwe, whether it is Zimbabwe under ZANU-PF or Zimbabwe under the MDC or under the CCC. Now, I want to go into the political a message that you just sent about the political party in charge. The opposition disagrees with what Mr. Sibanda is saying. Mr. Chamisa called for sanctions on Zimbabwe in the past, but obviously I don't know if Mr. Sibanda is aware that he's now calling it for it to be removed.
Yes, he's changed his mind. I've listened to him recently.
Yes. And he has said this because no one can get loans. It's not a ZANU-PF thing. This is Zedera targets Zimbabwe. It does not target an individual. It doesn't even mention an individual. Doesn't mention, no way. If you read Zedera from beginning to end, you'll see. So that is important. Now I want to go into the targeted sanctions, because the Americans government calls it a sanctions program. It's a sanctions program because it doesn't just include Zedera, it includes the executive orders, which change every time there's a new president. And the current executive orders target key Zimbabwean institutions. It targets municipalities. If you go onto the targeted sanctions list, it targets not individuals. Mm. A municipality, Denzel, is not an individual. It's not ZANU-PF. They can't get loans, right? Mm. They can't do business with the banks. Now, if they can't do that, then there's no water. There's no electricity. For that institution can't do it, right? It targets the Zimbabwe Mining Development Corporation. It means that that institution, which is central to the Zimbabwean economy, cannot do business, right?
Sure.
It targets the pension funds. I know this because my father worked for the pension funds. They can't work. They can't. The pensions have been attacked.
Advocate, let me go to the lines. There's two people who do want to come into the conversation. Brian in Pretoria, Mamelodi. Brian?
Hello, Ms. Denzel. How are you?
I'm good, Brian. How are you, man?
I'm good, thanks. Sure, I'm appreciative for the conversation. Thanks for your guest. Sure. I don't agree with your guest that one. You call it a simpachitandwa about Nelson Chamisa. The problem, I get it here. Since from former President Robert Gabriel Mugabe, those sanctions was there. It's not for Zimbabwe. It's for individuals. That's the problem. Mm. And even now, with the new government again, it's not for Zimbabwe. It's for individuals. So Nelson Chamisa is not the one who go to bring the sanction to Zimbabwe. The individuals is the one who causes the sanctions. So I'm not agree with this advocate Simbachitando about what he's talking about. The ruling party, it must bring someone fresh and new to contest with the opposition. But that's all. We need our country. We need our ruling party. But the problem is one. Since 1980, it's only the persons who are only rule the country.
Brian, I have to leave it there. I want to take Bafana in Midrand. Bafana?
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Bafana. How are you, man?
I'm good. Yes, I'm very disappointed, man. You know, in this guy, Chitando, man.
Sure.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, I can hear you. Bafana.
Yeah, man. You know, this guy, I don't genuinely believe in Zimbabwe. This guy is ZANU-PF.
Oh.
The problem for Zimbabwe is not sanctions, my brother. It's ZANU-PF. ZANU-PF is the problem in Zimbabwe. The sanctions that are there are not for the country, Zimbabwe. The day they started making noise, America responded to them and gave out a list of people who are sanctioned and entities. So they must stop this nonsense of them. And this thing that they just passed now is a thing of suppressing people like Chinono, the people who really write true things. And this other journalist who's there, he's just talking because he's afraid of. If he talks the truth, tomorrow he'll be in jail.
Bafana, I'm going to leave it there. Let's go to the journalist in the panel. Tukudzwa, you know, there are particular elements that would apply to you. And have you considered those? Tukudzwa?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
With this issue, you know, it's a very sensitive issue.
Mm.
And I understand why you know, the other listener is saying that we might be afraid of it.
Mm.
But what we have to...
Are you afraid? Are you particularly afraid of it as media people and journalists in that particular country? And you know, where if abused, because like the advocate is saying, a law is a law is a law, you know, and it's applied in all of these countries. But obviously, you know, if it is a law that suddenly begins to become abused in a particular way, then it does have a different impact. Is it something that the journalistic fraternity does look at and suggest that it could impact them negatively?
Well, I cannot speak on behalf of the other journalists,
mm.
okay, because I'm not aware of their state of mind when it comes to this. But for me personally,
mm.
I am not afraid to speak on these issues. But if we look at it objectively, given how some journalists have been treated, for example, newsday journalists at state functions, you know, they might have some reason to be afraid. But what I wanted to make clear was that we, you know, it is wrong, you know, it is wrong. It is always wrong for any country to come and try to tell another country how to do its politics and how to do its economics, because that's essentially what this whole sanction thing is about, you know. And we also need to remember the initial goal of the sanctions themselves.
Mm.
The initial goal was to ensure that the people would suffer so that they would revolt against their own government. You know, now who the hell does that on this planet? Who the hell thinks of doing something, you know, as vile as that? Indeed. But in the same vein, you know, in the same vein, we are also making, you know, clear the point that ZANU-PF in themselves, you know, they are not in an ideologically correct position, because even though they take a stand against sanctions, you know, as expressed in the patriotic bill, etc., they too have shifted towards the right wing, you know, which means that they believe in capital, you know, they believe in foreign investors at the expense of their own citizens. So this thing is like a double-edged sword. We have sanctions on the one hand, and we have ZANU-PF on the other hand. We are not exonerating any of the parties here. Both are wrong. And we are saying both need to be honest. Both the United States needs to be honest. Both ZANU-PF need to be honest. Everyone needs to be honest.
Mm.
That's the issue.
My guests here tonight still, Dr. Vusimusi Vusi Sibanda, CEO of the African Diaspora Global Network. Of course, Advocate Simba Chitando, you do know him. Also, you're Advocate of the South African High Court. And of course, we are talking to Tukudzwa Hilary Chiwanza, Zimbabwean journalist also in Zimbabwe. So let's have final remarks and closing remarks and comments on the conversation as far as you have heard them so far. We are, of course, talking and unpacking the impact and implication of the sanctions imposed on Zimbabwe and how, of course, those continue to infect the people of that particular country. What also we are talking about also is, of course, what is now called the Patriotic Bull, which, of course, whichever way you look at it, will determine whichever way you decide your narrative lies. Let's go back to Vusi Sibanda. Vusi, the conversation long and hard, and you've been waiting patiently, and we're back here with you, Dr. Vusi Sibanda. Your comments on everything you've heard so far?
Okay, thank you very much. I think one thing that I wanted to quickly zoom in on was the Patriotic, you know, bill on its own, which Mr. Chitando says that it is similar to the Logan Act or the American Patriotic, you know, Act, which is not true. I mean, it's very unfortunate that you would mislead people to that extent. The Logan Act specifically target people that were involved in America's foreign policy, because Logan had negotiated almost on behalf of the American government in 1799. And since 1799, only two people have been tried, you know, on that particular act, and they were all not found, you know, to have been guilty. It has never tried anyone successfully, and it's almost as a dormant act. When you look at the Patriotic Act again, it is the one that came in, you know, hard on the 9/11, and it targets mainly migrants, not Americans. It targets people that are looked at as, you know, terrorists, you know, to prevent terrorism. But when you look at this piece of legislation in Zimbabwe, and I must correct again, you know, Mr. Chitando, it is not an act. It actually, the excerpts of that particular bill have been taken and incorporated into the Criminal Law Codification and Reform Act.
They are approved amendments.
Yes, into the criminal law, but not as a bill. So the amendments have been, you know, approved, and now it has become criminal law in the country, and it's probably coming into Section 31 and other, you know, areas. It looks at publishing information. It looks at communicating with anyone, any information, whether foreign law, any information that could be seen as detrimental, disadvantaging the economy, and that kind of thing. So that has got, it is completely, it cannot be compared. It's not comparative to the pieces of legislation that he has spoken to. And it is, again, this kind of misinformation that tells people we have a Patriotic Bill in America or Act in America, so Zimbabwe can have one. But let's look at the content, what is in that particular act, though that is what real matters. So that is very, very untrue. And when you look at President Mnangagwa, I'm not sure if he has been removed as of yesterday, because on the list that day, he was number 43 on the original list, and he still remains, you know, as one of those people that, you know, are targeted on the sanctions. So in overall, I think the one thing that we're running away from is basically, you know, the truth that, you know, the enactment of these, you know, pieces of legislation, you know, that came from the Patriotic Bill is meant to silence, to stifle debate, to stop people criticizing what they think is not working, you know, in terms of the economy and the politics of the country. And that is not the purport and the spirit of, you know, the Patriotic Act in America, nor the Logan Act, because the Americans are allowed to speak freely and to discuss anything. Now, we are looking at a bill or, I mean, an amendment here in Zimbabwe that is trying to make sure that Zimbabweans can never be free. If I'm speaking right now, you know, as I'm speaking to you right now, I am violating the provisions of this particular, you know, act, you know, now, because I'm speaking against, you know, what is perceived to be the government or the economy. I'm going to influence, you know, investors and foreign policy. How is that possible? That an individual expressing his mind, I mean, we've got the Constitution of Zimbabwe, Section 6 and Section 61, which talks about the ability, I mean, you know, I mean, a freedom of conscience and practice and conscience and freedom of speech. And all these now are actually being, you know, attacked. And therefore, this particular act is, I mean, these particular provisions are in violation of the constitution of the country. So you can't have a situation where you have got the supreme law of the land being violated. I mean, you know, Zimbabwe is not a parliamentary supreme country, but a constitutional, you know, supreme country, which means every law that is enacted in that country must always bow to the constitution. But when you see people enacting pieces of legislation that violate clearly, you know, the constitution, you can see that the idea of constitutionalism in the country is non-existent. It is just a fallacy. It's a shame constitution, you know, that is, you know, that sits there, because it is not practiced. So for us to sit here and listen to people that are singing for their supper, you know, talking about
you know, I mean, the Patriotic Bill as something comparative to the Logan or the Patriotic, I mean, Act, and saying that the sanctions were targeted. When you look at the data and you look at people, the issue, it was never, like the journalists say, that the original purpose was to make people suffer. This is what is being sung by ZANU-PF. The Act, I mean, the sanctions were meant to make sure that the government of Zimbabwe does not make the people suffer. Unfortunately, they passed it on to the people. The idea, therefore, is to make sure that, one, if these people are practicing, for example, like what we've seen in terms of democracy, the, you know, the those poor, public, you know, violence, you know, acts and all that. And if they were meant to try and the Americans and other groups of sanctions were saying, please do not attack people in terms of media, in terms of people, you know, that are demonstrating, you know, in terms of the democratic practice and elections. Can you please align yourself to generally accepted in terms of the law? And we are always speaking. You, I've heard a lot of people here saying, look, we don't want people interfering with other, you know, other countries. And that is where the problem is. Because when you look at the AU, I mean, charter, you know, a promotion, I mean, the demo, I mean, promotion of democracy and governance. It is very clear that when human rights are violated, and this is very important, because you look at the EU, you look at the coalition of the American countries, you know, the all the enactments or the laws that look that deal with those regional blocs, they are very particular when it comes to the violation of human rights.
Sure.
And when we are dealing with human rights, we cannot say let the country be left alone, because once the country violates human rights, it then crosses that bridge and opens itself up to other people to make, you know, comment.
Doctor, let me go to Matthew. Matthew in Cape Town. Matthew?
Thank you very much.
Sure, Matthew.
I think I want to raise maybe about two or three issues.
Sure.
The first one is that I want to make it clear for your people that the sanctions in Zimbabwe are two categories. The first one has to do with what we have been discussing there, called targeted sanctions, which targeted certain individuals within the ruling elite, within the military, and other functionaries of ZANU-PF. That type of sanction is more like meaningless insofar as running the country is concerned. Okay. The major sanction that has affected Zimbabwe is ZIDERA. Now, ZIDERA was enacted in United States textbooks in 2001 under President George W. Bush administration. It is this sanction which very regrettably indeed, even the so-called opposition in Zimbabwe does not understand what that sanction means and what it would mean even if the PF was out of power. That sanction, ZIDERA, is intended, or to start with before the intention, it was put in place because Robert Mugabe had already removed the white farmers in Zimbabwe. Now, that is 2001. If Zimbabweans want ZIDERA to be removed, it means that the land or the farms that were taken from the white farmers, they must be reversed and given back, one, either to the farmers, the white farmers, or there is a full market compensation to the white farmers. Either of the two, if it's done, then those sanctions are going to be removed. But unfortunately, we don't see that happening, because ZANU-PF has prepared for their demise in case they lose election at a certain point in the line of elections, which will mean more trouble in Zimbabwe and more trouble to the SADC. Because ZANU-PF officials are aware that since 1980, they've been doing a lot of bad things in the country, particularly genocide in Matabeleland, where they killed over 40,000 Matabeles there, simply because they were Ndebeles, they were speaking a language which is not Shona. And they know afterwards they killed white farmers to take their farms there. And thereafter, they killed other people, you know, after 30,000. All right. They know very well that if they leave office at a certain point, all of them, they are going to be arrested. And for that reason, they are not prepared to go to prison. And two, they are not prepared to hand over power. So even if elections are going to be held next year, it's a waste of time, because even if the opposition were to win, the ZANU-PF government or party is not going to honor the election result.
Matthew, I have to leave it there because I have to go back to Simba Chitando. Simba Chitando, I'd love to hear your closing remarks on this particular debate.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm.
The African Union and SADC, the regional blocs that Mrs. Ubanda spoke of, have all denounced sanctions on Zimbabwe as illegal. So if he's going to rely on regional bodies in his argument, he must know that the regional bodies that apply to Zimbabwe have all condemned it. It doesn't help it. The second point that I'd like to quickly mention is that Mr. Greg Turn, in 2018 was jailed, was found guilty and jailed by the United States government for lobbying, speaking, exercising free speech that Mr. Subanda was talking about. And they said that it violated the Foreign Agents and Registration Act. He went to jail. Several others, there was a gentleman from Canada who was also went to jail for violating the Foreign Agents Registration Act. Chelsea Manning, who worked for the American Army, he went out and he spoke to journalists just like you, Denzel. And you'd be aware, Denzel, and all the other journalists, who Chelsea Manning is. He started off as I think his name was Greg. I've forgotten his first name, but he started off as a man and he changed, became a woman in prison. But he went to jail for doing exactly what Mrs. Ubanda says that you can do in the United States. But we all know you can't, because he went to jail for it. And that is working with the allegation, with a foreign with foreign entities against the United States. So Mrs. Ubanda is wrong again, just on those facts. Again, just quickly wrapping up, on the issue of why we need to make changes that are satisfactory to the Americans before sanctions are to be removed. Who are the Americans to do so? They've got no right to go to any country, and no one who is called in has said that what America is doing is consistent with international law. Not Mrs. Ubanda, not even the other individuals who called in who are speaking in support of the sanctions. No one has said it's consistent with international law, because international law, you cannot simply sanction people and lay waste to all the international agreements that have provided for a rules-based international order since 1945. That is a very powerful point. But in wrapping up, I just want to tie just a few things up on the individuals that have been targeted. One individual being targeted is one too many. In the democracy that Mr. Ubanda and I and anyone, you, Denzel, that you want to live in, if you're going to be punished, if your accounts are going to be closed, if you're going to be restricted in any way, you must be found guilty in a court of law. Nobody on the sanctions list has been found guilty in a court of law. Not one. This is by the admission of the United States themselves. At least in the case of Chelsea Manning and Greg Turn, who violated the laws in the United States for working with foreign agents, which is what Chamisa and Tendai Biti and others have admitted to doing, they at least had a trial. No one on the sanctions list in Zimbabwe has had a trial. That is inconsistent with the basis of us being lawyers. If you can find my clients are guilty before they're proven innocent, then I don't have a job to do. And as journalists, you don't have anyone to work with if they're going to go to jail just by working with you. So again, the United States are wrong there, which is why Tendai Biti, which is why Nelson Chamisa, which is why Even Hopewell Chinono, who works with them, their spokesperson type, a journalist or whatever it is that he does, has also called for the removal of the sanctions. It is illegal. You can't do it. And it is right to take action against anyone who causes harm to your economy. You can't do it. The content of the Patriotic Act is important here. The act will allow for a trial in Zimbabwe. So if you're not guilty of actively working to damage the economy, then there's nothing to worry about.
Mm.
And speaking up the way that Vusi Sibanda has done, which he's not allowed to do in the States, it will not be penalized in Zimbabwe. How do I know this? Because Nelson Chamisa is not in jail. Because Hopewell Chinono is not in jail. Because Fazai Mahere is not in jail. So and they are more vocal than him. They're not in jail.
Sure.
So I know,
sure.
And the journalist who's been on the line here also said, I don't know him. He said he's not afraid to speak out. I also know that the vast majority of the newspapers in Zimbabwe are critical of the government. There's probably just two major ones, the Herald and the Financial Gazette. But the most highly sold newspapers, the Daily News, this is by their own the admission of the opposition itself, are critical of the Zimbabwean government. Highly so. So if the allegation that the act is going to stop that, the democratic criticism is unfounded.
Advocate,
that would be my closing remarks. Sure. I don't think I've missed out anything. No.
Sure. Advocate, thank you so much for joining me. What an interesting debate. And of course, I don't think we've had the end of it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That's Advocate Simba Chitando, advocate of the South African High Court. Vusi Sibanda, you've got closing remarks, a few minutes.
Thank you very much. I think, unfortunately, again, it looks like, you know, it has really taken a to and fro from me, you know, and Mr. Chitando. Look, the issue is the Foreign Agents, you know, Act that is referring to and registering. People are being prosecuted for not registering to be acting as agents of a foreign, you know, body who is facilitating anything that has to do with politics in America, not what we're talking about again in terms of, you know, this enactment of the Patriotic Act. So that is the distinction. He's again picking things that are not related to what is going on. And he's talking about people not being arrested when only, you know, this legislation was actually only came into being about, you know, 5 or 7 days ago. So we are yet to see now how things are going to unfold. But we have seen already people like Job Sikala, Sithole, and many others, you know, Chinono included, you know, being arrested every now and again for their activism and for speaking against, you know, the government. So I think the most important thing that we're looking at here is that, you know, as African, and what we see happening in Zimbabwe is the evidence of that something is wrong in Zimbabwe is seen by the amount of people that are outside Zimbabwe and the level of chaos that is taking place, you know, and the level of corruption which is done by government, you know, officials who are the people that are on the Zidera list because and the Zidera, you know, like unlike what the other, you know, colleague was basically saying, it is very clear that it is a promotion of democratic principles, and the list of issues that had to be satisfied are all outlined there. And it just spoke about a process that is fair on land reform, not necessarily that it was the major issue there, but it was all about democratic practices. So I think at the end of the day, it is very unfortunate that there are a lot of people, you know, that do not have access to this information, that listen to this kind of discussions, and you find that instead of us being honest, we do not give the correct information, but we try, you know, to mislead people to buy our way onto the dinner table in Zimbabwe so that we can also participate, you know, in the loot rather than to, you know, basically change this. Unfortunately, our neighboring countries, for example, like South Africa, have also not been very helping, especially when the rights of the ordinary people are being trodden upon by the most powerful, you know, individuals, you know, in the country of Zimbabwe. And that is the reason why, you know, for example, what the president, you know, President Ramaphosa has just said is actually in bad taste. you know, to the majority of the Zimbabweans that are here in South Africa that would want to go back, that right now as we speak, the South Africans are not happy with the population of Zimbabweans in the country here. And then President Ramaphosa says that is because of what? That is because of, I mean, of the sanctions. And that is completely not true, because we already in the 90s, when Zimbabwe was failing, a lot of people started trekking down here. In fact, coming all the way from the 80s, that were fleeing Kukurawundi, which was orchestrated and which was actually under, you know, the full control of President Mnangagwa. And at the end of the day, you will see that the trekking of people from Zimbabwe to South Africa has always been as a result of fear and as a result of the autocratic and dictatorship that has been prevailing, you know, in the country. So
I have to end it there, sir. Thank you so much for joining me here on Power Perspective tonight.
Anytime. Thank you very much for inviting me.
And of course, I'm going to bring both gentlemen back here just to, as we see this, of course, this amendment to the Act, to the Codification and Reform Act, see how it pans out within that particular country called Zimbabwe. We will, of course, have further conversations. Well, make of it what you want. There's the Zimbabwe conversation for you by Zimbabweans. A conversation about Zimbabwe by Zimbabweans.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.